We are in week three of a 5-week mini series looking at and reimagining what it means to be on front line for God, to be that bridge between heaven and the world and a world that doesn't know him, to be those people fulfilling the role of a royal priesthood. People who point to God, people who are intermediaries in that process. That's who God calls us to be. And those are the front lines that we've been thinking about. In week one, we recognize that we are called to make all the difference in the world. That was our title. Literally, it is the expectation that we make all the difference in the world. In that role as in a bridge between heaven, between God and people who don't know him. And we recognized that that's the role that God gives to his people, to be a blessing, to be distinctive in the people they are representing him, pointing to him. And to help us understand that, there were two words given to help us define the context of who we are. The words were elect and exiles. We are elect. We're a people chosen for that purpose by God. But we are also to do so as exiles, strangers in a foreign land, in this world, but not of this world. We're called to bring that spiritual change that God has made in us to a world that doesn't have that in it. That was the first week. In the second week, we looked at geography. Where does all this take place? Where are we going to be exiles and the elect? And the title of our talk that week was wherever we are, wherever we are. I wonder whether you've been thinking about that this week. In the situations that you've found yourselves, with all the people you've spoken to, with every conversation that you've had, in every place that you visited this week, were you aware that in that you were on the front line for God? That is the place where you're called to be that bridge between heaven and earth and people who don't know God. That's the place where you ought to be the priest for God. Well, this week, our title is Whatever We Do. This is about how we get on with it and what it is that we can do within the context of being with other people. Our front lines in whatever we do, the work of our hands, however small or huge the tasks might be, those are the things that matter to God. It's part of our worship. It's living our life out for God as we serve others and bear testimony to Him. And there can be real kingdom significance in even the small tasks that we do for God. So let's see that as we look at the video for this week. Whatever we do, whatever you do. Paul's letter to the church at Colossae describes the kind of community that he wanted them to be. But he makes clear that the intention was not to make them that kind of community just when they're together. They were not to be inward focused. Their focus was not just to be as they are gathering. Sadly, that has become part of the trademark of who we are as God's people. There's very much a focus on the time when we are together and us being God's people and Christ-like in those contexts. What was being said here by Paul was, on the contrary, your whole lives, every daily activity, all the stuff that you do should be there illustrating the kind of people you are for God. It should be marked by love and compassion and kindness, thoughtfulness, recognizing who we can be and what we can be to other people in every activity that we do, words and deeds, and including in the relationships that we have and the conversations we have with others. Now, in the passage that we read, the social conditions assumed in that passage were very different from the ones that we might experience today, but the principles that flow out of them are exactly the same. And from them, we can see how our commitment to the Lord, to God and to his purposes, is expected by Paul to flow out into the ordinary things of life, into the work that we do in our daily activity, in the conversations, those relationships that we have. And all of that he sees as being bound up by our service, our worship of God. Now, most of the people who would be reading this letter would have been either slaves or they would have been household servants, not people in great positions of authority. And in many ways, they were the ones who would have kept the economy of the Roman Empire going. I had a conversation with a couple of people who are here this morning earlier in the week, and we were talking about the jobs that our ancestors did. And they were saying, one person was saying that his grandfather used to be an agricultural laborer. He said he probably wasn't very intelligent, but that's the job he'd had. And actually, intelligence had nothing to do with it. That's where the jobs were in those days. I pointed out that my ancestors came from very much working backgrounds in that sense. My great-great-great-grandfather might have one great too many, if you can have too many greats in your ancestry. But he was in the 1840s working as an agricultural laborer in farming on the land. That was his job. That's where most people in that day would have worked. Many, many women worked as maids, as in household service. My grandmother was in service. May not have always been in Downton Abbey type situations, but in service in some capacity. That's what mattered in those days. So for people reading this, who were literally not just servants, but often slaves, they would have known they'd had very little control over their lives. They don't get to make the big decisions. And it would have been very tempting for them to think of the ordinary daily tasks as being insignificant, having no relevance in the kingdom of God. Paul's encouragement to them offered a new way of seeing that those daily tasks really mattered. Now, some Christians today think similarly. They think that their tasks, maybe their work tasks, might be important, but they don't really matter to God. And they live with a sense of, do you remember that phrase that I brought up in a Sunday service some months ago, but in the church meeting that we had last month, we mentioned that notion of the sacred secular divide. This idea that for many people there is a division. There are the sacred things in their Christian life, and there are the secular things. And the sacred things matter to God because those are the things that happen on a Sunday, the jobs they do for God, their service, the thing that gives them identity. All those things, the jobs they have in the church, are the things that make them feel like they're doing something for God. And then at 12 o'clock, they go home and they get on with the secular stuff. And well, that really doesn't matter that much for the kingdom of God, does it? Hasn't that been one of the lessons that we've had to learn? Isn't that why life was so difficult for many people when COVID came and we couldn't come into buildings and they couldn't adopt the mantle of the jobs that helped us to feel so important? Paul knocks that on the head and he says, absolutely not. You are in service for God, whatever you do, in all the things that you do. There is no secular, sacred divide. You are a representative for God in all situations. I think it's really important that the phrase that is used here, this is really significant to help illustrate this, the phrase that he uses, whatever you do, in this chapter, which is where the title of the video and our talk comes from, in Colossians 3 is repeated. The first time it comes in verse 17, and it comes in the context that whatever we do in that sacred aspect, in the sense of our worship when we come together. So verse 15, he refers to the body of Christ. That's all believers. When we're with Christians, when we come together, whatever you do in that context. In verse 16, it refers to the word of God. And then the songs that are sung together. So that's the first way that he uses it. And that's really important. I want to endorse that. And I want to say that whatever we do for God, if you are reading in a service, if you are leading prayers in a service, if you are just going to be present and contribute, do it to the best of your ability. Whatever you do, it is right that we prepare. If you're going to read, read through it 10 times before you actually start, so that you almost don't need to look at the words, it just flows. Come to those times, those gatherings of God's people, having been prepared, having just quietened yourself. Come expecting not just to hear and get what you want, but to give. Do the best. Yes, absolutely. And that's what he suggests. But he repeats that phrase, doesn't he? Whatever you do. And in verse 23, it comes again in a completely different context. There's nothing to do with the times when they're together as God's people. Now it's in the context of everyday working towards your spouse, wives towards husbands, husbands towards wives, towards children, in the way that you relate to other people. And then he speaks about household slaves. Household slaves, whatever you do. So whether it's gathering for worship or in the scattered everyday lives, it all matters to God in whatever we find ourselves doing. And this phrase, do it all in the name of Jesus. Do you realize that when we do something in the name of Jesus, we are acting as his representatives? Do you realize that when we go into someone's home and we're sitting down, we're having tea and coffee, you are there acting as his representatives? Whenever I think about this, I think about the film, The Battle of Britain. And there's a little scene towards the start where the British ambassador in Switzerland meets with the German ambassador in Switzerland, and they're having a conversation, and the German ambassador is trying to explain the good intentions of what's happening for his country. And the British ambassador gets to that point where he loses his temper. The German ambassador storms off and his wife comes back in. The British ambassador's wife walks into the room, and the British ambassador says, unforgivable. And she looks at him, unforgivable. I lost my temper. And he knows that as an ambassador, your place is not to lose your cool, but to be there representing your country calmly. We do that every time we do a job, every time we seek to do someone's shopping. If we help them out by doing some cleaning, gardening, whatever we might do, we do it to the best. You cook some meal for someone. We don't give them the scraps. That's the Old Testament principle, isn't it? Of people coming and making a sacrifice for God. They wouldn't come and bring them, choose the lamb that was the most defective. Oh, that one's only got three legs. We'll give that one to God. That doesn't matter. You give something without blemish, the best you can give. That's the principle here. Whatever you do it in the name of Jesus. It is seen. Which means that Christians can be parents and grandparents to children in the name of Jesus. If someone's in business, they can price a job justly in his name. You can plumb a sink in Jesus' name if you switched into the video. Coach a team. You can be there. We're all called to be Christ's ambassadors, to represent him in everything that we say and that we do. Do you know, a friend of mine said he would never drive a car with the Christian sticker of a fish on the back of his car, because he said, my driving isn't good enough. Sometimes I go too fast. I lose my temper. That's no way to represent Jesus. That's the point, isn't it? In everything we do, not just in a service, but in every conversation, when we're trying to bless someone. Lord, how can I be a blessing in this situation? Do you know, I learned a lot from my dad. My dad would go on holiday, and if he found that the bed was crooked and one leg was shorter than the other, or a cupboard was falling off, a door didn't close properly, he wouldn't complain and ask for his money back. He'd get his screwdriver out and he'd sort it out. Everywhere I've ever stayed, every house I've ever been to, I've always wanted to say, right, what can I do to improve this, to be a blessing? So every conversation, what can I do to bring blessing into this? And how do you perhaps seek to be a blessing to people who are generally looked down on? Those who are thought to be insignificant. Do you know, Paul does that even here to people who are slaves, and he subverts, he turns upside down the slave owner relationship by helping slaves that they are actually working for God. So the slave owner thinks that he's in charge of his slave, but he helps the slave see, actually, that's just what they think. But in fact, what you do, all the jobs you do, are as though you were doing them for the Lord. So do it to the best of your ability, even when the boss isn't there looking. It's part of your worship because we are serving God. I want to ask the question, what sort of actions and words this week will make this true in our lives? It's not just the place that we find ourselves on the front line, but what sort of things are we doing that will help us to bring the life of God into the lives of our neighbors, our friends, our families, wherever we find ourselves. May we be that body of people for the Lord.